please state your full name, where you were born, and your date of birth?
Brenda K. Williams, born in Valdosta, Georgia.
Can you tell me some of your earliest memories of River Hill Missionary Baptist Church?
Earliest memories at River Hill Baptist Church would include one that weighs on my heart quite a bit. When I was a child, at the end of Sunday school, after the end of Sunday school collection, there was always a little special collection where the members were asked to donate any extra pennies or nickels or dimes that they had. And what we would do, we would collect money, a little penny collection at the end of Sunday school for the entire year. And the monies that we collected were used as a quote-unquote Christmas club. And we would take that money and purchase gifts for the children and for the people that were at home or in the hospital, you know, little gifts like socks, maybe a piece of candy, some fruit, just something small but so meaningful. And that club was named after a sweet elderly lady of the church. Her name the daughter of the lady was the piano player, and her name was Miss Eve Brown. And the lady who the club was named after, which was Miss Eve Brown's mother, her name was Miss Spence. S-P-E-N-C-E. And so that's what I can remember that quite well. And another event or regular event that I remember quite well when I was a child growing up, we would have what you call union meetings. And the union meetings would always be held on the fifth Sunday of the month. And during that time, the churches in the neighborhood would gather together and have a big fellowship beginning on Friday afternoon, event on Saturday morning, and the union meeting will culminate on Sunday afternoon with a big fellowship, singing, and a big church picnic. And it was so fun to me because I love to eat, and I would just enjoy myself going from car to car eating. Because during that time, we didn't have a dining hall, and we didn't go to a restaurant, but the members would pack a lunch, and it would be in their trunk, the trunk of their cars, and we'd just go from various members' trunks, fellowship, and eat, and just have a great time. So that's just two of the many, many memories that I have participating as a child at River Hill.
Was this at the older church?
Yes. You know, this is when I was a child. So yes, that was it started when we were up on the hill. You remember, our first building was right on the hill of James Road. And then we later moved some years on the same street where at the location that we're in now. And since then, you know, we've had a remodel because, of course, the earlier church was not as, I won't say great, but it didn't have the efficiencies that the newer building has. So yes, it started at the early church, at our first initial church on the hill on James Road.
Was the new church built from scratch, or did you actually move the old building to the new location?
If I'm not mistaken, now I don't quote me wrong, but I think bits and pieces, as much as possible was moved. You know, I don't know, you know, the elaborate you know, the construction of a building moving now are so much different and high tech, but I don't really, you can't quote me on how it was actually moved, but I do know many of the elements that we use, like the pews and the chairs and tables, you know, things that we could recycle or refurbish, we moved to the new church. But then as the congregation grew and people were able to give more money for the church, and we were able to purchase more modern and new items. So it's been a work in progress, I would say a growth in progress, because we didn't have that much, but as you can see now, God has blessed us. We're in a nice building, air conditioned, carpet, inside toilet, kitchen, study rooms. So it's just been a growth in progress, I will call it.
So what have your roles been within the church?
Oh, my roles have been, I'm very proud to say, have been multiple, because from a child, it was always instilled in us the importance of being an active member in the church. Actually, when I was baptized, at that time, our church did not have a baptism pool. So when I was baptized, we had to go to another church to be baptized because their church was more modern and up-to-date with the inside pool. Because as you know, before inside pools were built, you know, we were baptized in the river, okay? And so, but once I was baptized, and even I would say before actual baptism, I've had so many strong people in my life to encourage me, my siblings and other relatives, to be active, beginning with my mother. My father was deceased in the military, so he, when I was age 5, so he did not have that opportunity to work with me and push me in church because he was traveled so much with the military. But I had strong grandparents who kept me involved, beginning with being in Sunday school every Sunday in church, singing in the choir. We had a junior choir. We also had what you call a junior mission. And the seniors had their mission, because I told you, like on fifth Sunday, all the churches in the neighborhood would gather for what you call a union mission. And so as juniors, we would have a little meeting and, you know, read Bible verses, and someone would talk to us about some related biblical story or message. And then, of course, at the union meetings, we would always have representatives, the junior representatives, and they would give us an opportunity to have a say at the services. And our activities usually were like on that Saturday evening, when we would have some type of participation, whether it be a skit or a song or prayer or, you know, just different ones sharing what they've learned at church and at the union meetings as well. But yes, and now I call myself a floater. I just float to whatever auxiliary or department or organization that need my service. You know, we're active with the nursing home ministry at a local nursing home in Valdosta. We try to keep the young children involved with various activities, in addition to encouraging their success at school and the different extracurricular activities that they offer. And then I'm very close with my mother and her age group. As you can see, I sit over in a little section where the older lady sits. And I just fit in where I can, helping the elderly where needed. And of course, it's not a job, it's a joy. It's something that I enjoy doing. I just ask God to use me to place me wherever He can use me best. So there's always something to do if it's nothing but serving food when the bereaved had their funeral and we're having a repast for the family, or Christmas programs, doing various skits and passing out gifts. Just things to keep everyone encouraged, but most importantly, focusing on God's grace and mercy and how good He is to us.
Yes, ma'am. You mentioned auxiliary positions within the church. Can you dive more into what the different auxiliary positions are?
Well, it of course, excuse me, we have various auxiliaries. Now, we have what you call a senior mission, just like the junior mission. We have a organization where the men, they have like what you call a deacon board, and of course they are the ones that help with the finance and make the pertinent decisions regarding the building and the budgets and just sort of oversees all of the other programs that we have. But they're very, very active, in addition with the pastor's assistant. Of course, we have various choirs. We have a youth choir, and they have a youth Sunday. At our church, we have a youth Sunday, and that's when the youth are responsible for the devotion. They're responsible for taking up the collection, the singing, and we even have a youth minister. He is a young man that grew up in the church and now has his own church, and he has sort of committed himself to come. And because the Sunday that we have, Youth Day, is a Sunday, an off Sunday for his church, where we have church every Sunday. Some churches in the Baptist community may have church on certain Sundays, like maybe first and third or second and fourth. But as we're all growing and people are able to give and financially and with their service, we're having more churches to be open full term, where they're having church every Sunday. And like I said, with the Baptist church, if you're a member of this particular union, you know that fifth Sunday of the month is the off Sunday, and that's when we rotate and go to various churches for that particular weekend of services. But we do have an organization with we have usher boards. You know, these are the ones that welcome you into the church, make sure you're seated, make sure your knees are met, passing out fans, collection plate when it's time to collect offerings. Of course, we have a pastor's aid club that has been very active for many, many years. And that's a very unique organization that it's a group of men and women who meet on a regular basis, making sure that the needs of the church are met, any additional needs, such as if we have, if the minister is going away to visit another church and he's speaking, if he's the guest speaker, that organization is responsible for making sure that his and his family needs are met, if they are a need, if it's lodging or food, you know, for their lunch expenses, for the seniors, especially the senior ladies in the church, that ministry helps them make sure that their needs are met. For example, if they live alone and don't have transportation, we have a bus ministry, a van ministry, I would call it. We have a church van, and all you have to do is let the ministry know, and they'll make sure that you are picked up in a timely manner for any of the services that you would like to participate in if you do not have your own personal transportation or someone near or a family member or loved one to pick you up. So I can go on and on, but I can say it's the various ministries that we have are sort of interwoven into one cloth, making sure that the church is running and operating in a pleasant, feasible, blessed manner, where needs are being met. And then, of course, I would like to share that we are known as the Church on the Hill, and we encourage people to come by, visit. You know, I never shall forget during the hurricane. Well, actually, all the hurricanes that Valdosta has experienced these last years, that River Hill has been a major point for people to come off of I-75 for rest, or if they need to spend the night, because we do have our shelter available. And that is one project that I look forward to building up, because, you know, with so many tragedies and I guess I don't need to name them tragedies, but with the life experiences that we have had with the various hurricanes and storms, fires, and just people having to travel from one point to the next because they had to leave their homes or what have you, it's good to know that if they're traveling on I-75 coming into Valdosta, we try to encourage people, even on our Facebook page, to not hesitate to come to River Hill, because the door is always open. So we are truly blessed in that favor, to have a open door policy for anyone that needs overnight shelter. We provide basic necessities, toiletries, pillows, blankets, etc., and hot meals. So that's one auxiliary that is very active and well received for the community, and even by the members, because many of our members live in the community where we're located. So they are truly blessed to know that they don't have to search for shelter when they can come to their home church, which is River Hill. So that's just one of two of the services and auxiliaries that we have that are very active in our church.
How have you seen the auxiliary positions and devotions change over the years?
Yes. Well, one that I can speak of is what we have before church service. We have like a devotion, and the devotion is commonly or ordinarily where a couple of the ministers, the deacons or anybody who wants to can come up and offer prayer. We have a series of prayers and songs and prayer, and then we go into the actual start of church. And as I was a child coming up, it was only the men that initiated or participated in that particular ministry. But it's just such a blessing to see that it's an open door policy. I mean, we have ladies that volunteer, or we are asked to come up and participate, and are welcomed, you know, because in many churches, and I'm sure you're familiar with this, women were not always welcomed in the pulpit, per se. They always felt there was a mindset that men should be the speakers or the leaders. But as the years have gone by, and with education, and people are realizing that it's not only males that can share God's word, so we have more females that are being welcomed and very much so active, because sometimes, and most of the time, it'd be the ladies now that handle the devotion. But there are certain specific Sundays when the deacons are responsible. But that's one auxiliary that I have seen a lot of growth, and it's a welcome growth to see that anybody who wants to come up and share God's word, anybody who is willing to share their talent of song and prayer is welcomed. And as you can see from the times that you visited, we have an awesome time doing the devotion service. And that is sort of like a prep for what's in store once church service starts and as it continues. So,
yes, ma'am.
In my opinion, I've enjoyed it.
Yes, ma'am. Can you explain what the mother of the church is?
Okay. The mother of the church was something that was, I can't trace back as far as history and date or what have you, but I know from me being a child, there was always one person, one female of the church that people recognized as the mother of the church. And of course, I didn't know what that meant as well, because I knew she wasn't my mother, and I know she probably had children of her own or what have you. But as I grew and matured and continued being active in the church, and now that I am adult, I understand it more. The mother of the church is a female individual who has been identified as one who is filled with sincere religious purpose, believing in God and believing in the importance of being obedient to God's word, and one that has been designated as someone to encourage others. Some people may call that person like an advisor or someone, a confidant, just someone that the church highly respects as an individual who stands on God's promises and is willing to share her beliefs, her experiences, and to encourage others to do the same. So many times you have younger ladies come into the church and they sit quietly because they don't know if they are being received, because, you know, times have changed. You know, the times now, you know, we wear various outfits. We wear makeup, we wear hair, we're what you call fashionistas. We love fashion. And so a mother of the church could be one to whisper to me. I'm going to use me an example. If I came in and I perhaps had on something that was maybe too revealing, that mother should be so sweet and confident in her God that she can pull me to the side and whisper into my ear without embarrassment or shame and offer a suggestion, not to demean me, but just to remind me there are certain things you wear and certain in church and certain things you do not wear. And I'm not saying that's her duty to watchdog clothing, but that person is someone who is available at all times. If someone is having issues and they just need someone to talk to, or just want to just need an encouraging word, that is the person that would be recommended for that person to talk to. But there are no specific roles for a mother of the church, but I can say that if you were given that honor to be referred to or recognized as mother of the church, that is considered a high honor, that you are highly respected and loved and valued.
Is there a male version of the mother of the church?
No, ma'am. Not that I know of. I guess during that time when the mother of the church, you know, that was a time when men basically handled everything. So I guess that was when the term mother of the church came up, was a time when, as a group, it was decided to give a female some type role. But we do have what you call a deacon board, the deaconesses and deacons, right? Okay, now the deacons' wives are called deaconesses, okay? And they are there to support the church and support their husband and just help the church run smoothly. But as far as a father of the church, no, but we do have what we call a deacon chairman, and that person is like the official leader of the deacons, and they meet on a regular basis. They make decisions, they are it's a group who is on task, supposedly on task all day and every day, watching out for the welfare of the members in the church itself, as well as most importantly sharing God's word, because they are the ones that normally handle what we call our devotional services and other services. Like they're active in the Sunday school, like the Sunday school superintendent, and just any capacity that's needed. But no, we do not have what you call a father of the church, other than what we have is the minister. In some cases, you have an assistant minister or sons of the gospel. Sometimes you may visit a Baptist church as well as our church. Young men who are seeking guidance or interested in becoming or obtaining pastoral at a church, they travel and visit and observe, and the ministers will normally give them an opportunity to participate, such as, you know, maybe starting service with devotion or reading a text from the Bible that will be later shared in the minister's message, or offering prayer or group prayer, just being on watch and observance, so that hopefully and prayerfully when they are able to become ordained ministers, they will know what to do when they have their church and become leaders of the church and of their congregants.
Wow. Just from hearing you talk, I can see how all of the Baptist churches are connected and how River Hill Missionary Baptist Church specifically has just done a lot for the community. So can you tell us how, what role the church has played in your relationships with family, friends, or marriage?
What role has the church played in my life with family, relationships, etc.? Well, I can honestly say that observing the closeness of the family members and church members on a weekly basis, especially on Sundays, has encouraged me to value opportunities to have close relationships. It was always a joy to look forward to attending church and church services, because that was a time when everybody seemed to be happy, fellowshipped with song, prayer, and 9 times out of 10 events, we always had food. So when you come to our church, we're going to offer you something to eat. So with that, that has encouraged me and has made me a person where I love being with family and friends and doing and engaging in fellowship. I guess the key is fellowship. And while I was saying most of the times there were fun events, but even when we had sad times, funerals, you know, we at the Baptist Church, and I'm sure at other churches as well, we know a funeral is when you say goodbye to a loved one, put them in a grave, put some flowers on, etc. But we look at it as more of a celebration of life. We talk about the good times as well as some of the not so good times, but most importantly, highlighting the things the individual represented, and how the body and the family and other loved ones will miss their presence. So yes, the activities, fellowship, I think is the key, and it has guided my life and my life experiences as well.
Can you talk about a specific time where it has helped with your relationships? A fun time or sad time that you remember?
Now I will have to, as I talk, I'll probably come up, can think of some more specific times, but I do treasure the times when, as I prepare to, one was when I was leaving for college, when I graduated from high school. That was a special thing, a special event for my family and my church family. I graduated from high school in 1979, and I went on to college shortly thereafter. I think we started like in September, August, late August or September. And it was just a big thing to see how my family and the church family rallied behind me, because they were just so proud of me going off to college. And I can remember specifically my grandmother, which was when she passed away. She was one of the designated mothers of the church, and when she found out that I was finally obtaining my degree, she got so excited. She insisted on traveling to Albany. I'm a graduate of, my undergrad is from Albany State University, Albany, Georgia. And my grandmother, she was not the kind that likes to travel, but she wanted so bad to be at my graduation. And but one, the only thing about it is that my sister and mom brought her that morning for graduation, because it was on a Saturday. She insisted that after dinner she had to be taken back to Valdosta, because she didn't want her husband to be alone. And we laughed and chuckled about that for years. So she was just so excited. And again, she introduced me to everyone that I met in our passing, whether it's at the doctor's office or grocery store. She would always introduce me as her school teacher. She was just so excited. So yes, a lot of the members, especially the older members, they were just so very excited, because many of them didn't have the opportunity to graduate from high school or attend high school. I think my grandmother, bless her heart, she may have done maybe 2 or 3 years in elementary school, but you know, back in the day, you know, they had to work. They had to work in the fields or stay at home to help with the other siblings or what have you to keep things moving. So that's one event in my life that that I can say has really added flavor to my presence. But it's always a time for a celebration, you know, whether you know somebody's graduated, a new baby's coming, someone's joined the military, baptisms, all of those celebrations kept us going and remained in my heart.
How does the church help the youth today?
Oh wow! Oh, the church is a safe haven. I would call it. And matter of fact, many of the children that attend our church, River Hill Missionary Baptist Church, their families grew up in other churches. And you ever heard of those saying that spread the word, good news, people will travel? Well, because, and I'm not seeking accolades, but in my observation, and I know that the youth department, they work so hard in trying to engage the children and keeping up with them with their schooling, making sure that they are honored for the honor rolls or any type of award that they receive. I mean, when it's time for somebody to go to band camp or college, you know, they'll maybe have a monetary donation for them. Just anything that's going to try to encourage them in school as well as church. They have what we have what you call a youth service. So they have their own Sunday school, and they have like a little youth service down in the back. And after they complete their youth service, then they all march in to the church, and they engage, not necessarily engage during that time when they're coming in. They come and take a symbol with the church in session. There's always a pause, so allow them to come in and sit down. But then again, we also have a youth Sunday when the children are given the responsibility of devotion. And that's just like a little prelude to the church service, where they give prayer and song, and they are the active ushers, keeping the pulse, you know, making sure people are seated and giving them their needs, such as fans or envelopes or directions to, or the needs being met. And we even have a youth minister. So, but God is good. The youth minister, last year, he was able to obtain and ordain, and he has his own church, but he is still committed to coming to the church and on a regular basis to bring service geared especially for the youth. And while his ministry and song with him, as well as the presiding pastor and all, we try to present it in a way that all ages can understand. So I just see a lot of growth, and I see when children find a place where they're comfortable and they're excited and they do a lot of fun things, they tend to bring their friends with them. So you can see the numbers increasing gradually. So I think that is good. And not just River Hill. I've seen it in other churches as well. You have to engage them. You have to give them some type leadership, some type of responsibility to make them feel like they're a part and not just being directed or told what to do. And then when you do that, they feel comfortable and they'll want to come and they enjoy themselves. And most importantly, they're learning. Now, whether they keep it, if they hold it, we don't know, but at least it's being presented to them. So I think the church offers multiple events and activities and opportunities for the children to grow and learn and to enjoy church.
Do you think the relationship between local churches here in Valdosta is different from church community somewhere else?
Me personally, I would say no, because if you're going to church, if you know the true meaning of attending church and you know the Lord and you're dependent on God, leaning and dependent on God's word, his promises, and then of course you know our Bible is our map, our guide for living, I don't think they're so different. I think there are more likeness than differences. We may have different methodology as far as presentation, the way we do things, but I think at the end of the day, we all serve one God, one true living God, and I would hope that people will focus on his being versus man's being. And if you focus on God and what he is doing, what he has done, what he is doing, and what he has promised to do for us, I think we realize that we're more alike than different. But yes, there are going to be some variations in presentation and the way we do things and what have you. You're going to have more, you may have more members, you may have more affluent members, people who are more educated, or more have more money, or what have you. But at the end of the day, there's only one God. And so I think, again, we have more likeness than differences.
Yes, ma'am. You were talking about how the youth can sometimes invite their friends to come to church, but have you noticed any shifts in the way people approach the faith or church over time?
Were you talking about the way children approach the faith or people?
Just people in general.
Oh, yes. Yes, I see a shift. And I think that's very prevalent in everybody's eyesight because, you know, we're living in a time where we're filled with shifts that are good and shifts that are not so good. And I think people are still asking, you know, the question, how long? And that question can be pertaining to circumstances in their lives. How long could be pertaining to circumstances that are taking place in the world? Just how long in general things will be. So yes, there will always be a shift, but my prayer is that people will truly, truly, truly understand that with all the various shifts that we have, once we realize that death is something that we all will have to partake in, that you will, in my personal opinion, there will always be forever two choices that you make in your final destination, and that's heaven or hell. And so I think people just have to come to grips with, you know, there are going to be some things and events and people and circumstances that you have no control of. But if you get on your word of God of faith and meditate and trust him, try to live the right way, the righteous way, and also encouraging those that may not have a direction or lost, then everything will be okay. So, you know, things will always take place that are not favorable, but we do know that those who are believers in Christ know that we know from our learning and reading our Bible and trusting in God that heaven is a beautiful place. And while we all enjoying life, we enjoying the human things, but the godly things, our being with our Heavenly Father should be our ultimate goal. So, yes, things will always be in a shift, but it's up to the individual to be focused and to be strong. And through prayer and through other people praying for you, because, you know, some people are, I don't want to use the word weak, but they need some encouragement. They need a word. They need a push because, you know, some people have more strength than others. So we have to learn to lean on each other and just trust God and just look for the ultimate time when we all can get together and have a great time again after we pass this old world.
Yes, ma'am. What are some other lessons that you've learned through church involvement and also from your parents and family?
Well, the personal involvement that I shared with you earlier about the fellowship and just enjoying one another and what have you, that will be the main one, but one of the main ones I say, but the most important is learning more and more about God, because, you know, it's quick to say, well, I'm not going to church today, or I gave church a break. But I have found out that when you're not in attendance, and you know, sometimes your jobs or circumstances could be help or whatever won't allow you to come. But when you have the opportunity where you can actually come into the house and gather together with people of the same faith and beliefs, you learn from each other, and so that helped me. Because, like I said, we learn from each other. I gain strength through your strength, and that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to befriend and help each other. So I definitely believe in the association. It's truly beneficial, because that would only increase your faith and help you to be a bigger and better person. And it's just like I think about the smorgasbord. You know, when you go to a restaurant, you go to a smorgasbord, you know, there's an array of different food items, and you have an opportunity to select those that hit your taste bud. So that's just like with life and with church. There are going to be some things that you may not agree with or want to engage in or what have you, because in first and foremost, you need to remember you're not there to criticize or ridicule. You're there to learn the word of God and guidance through family and friends and what have you. But you go and you find your spot that you're comfortable with, and you try to learn and stay focused on your purpose of being there. See, when we lose purpose of being there or being anywhere, that's when we're lost. So if your purpose is to socialize, then hey, you'll always be disappointed. But if your purpose is to learn the word of God, you never can go wrong, because there's something that you can learn from the Bible each day. There's no way you can learn everything, and everything that you learn should be something to help you as you move along in your life's journey.
Yes, ma'am. So if someone were new to the faith or the church, what advice would you give them?
Oh, wow. First, before giving advice, just encouraging them to come and become, and I guess you could call that advice, but what I mean by not giving advice, meaning not telling them the do's and the don'ts, and, you know, but encourage them to just come and find their spot. You know, just sit back. Don't come in trying to change anything or rearrange or what have you, but just come in, be comfortable, and have a mindset of your purpose of being there. If you lose your purpose of being there, then you're going to be pulled from here, there, everywhere, and then you're gonna become confused. Bad but true, you may become angry, and then as a result, you may decide, well, you know, maybe this is not for me, and that's not our ultimate goal, because God wants all of us saved. Whether we participate in good or bad, he wants all of us saved. So I would suggest that you just come in, just, as they say, fit in where you can, and if you continue to do it on a consistent basis, eventually you will find a spot that you feel comfortable and feel that it's going to heighten your learning, then truly you'll have a wonderful experience. And then most importantly, once you have done so, reach back and try to pull someone else in, because we're not born to know right from wrong. There's a learned experience. And so from there, once you find your space, then hopefully you will be able to look back and find another loved one, another classmate, another friend, another relative, and maybe another a parent or a sibling, and try to encourage them, because we just do better together. We learn and we can help each other. But I can't go to heaven for you, and you can't go to heaven for me. It's an individual thing, but I do believe in encouragement and sharing and helping people get on the right track. Because remember, we were not always there. It was the experience that we had to learn. And so share it. Don't try to keep it all to yourself.
Yes, ma'am. You said that you went to Albany State. What was your degree?
Albany State, yeah. Albany State University, yes.
What was your career?
My career, I started in education, special education, and I retired with 35 years of teaching. After my 4-year bachelor's degree at Albany State, I was blessed to obtain my master's degree in education. I went on and completed my specialist degree at Troy State University. And from there, with God's grace and mercy and a praying mother to encourage me, I went on and completed my doctoral, my education degree from the University of Sarasota, Florida. And I recently retired, 2018. I taught all grade levels, kindergarten, elementary, middle school, high school, and collegiate. And now I'm just a lady of leisure, sleeping in and eating big, large breakfasts, and need to be on the track now to walk some of these eggs and bacon off.
Congratulations on the retirement.
Thank you.
How has your upbringing, how has your upbringing been brought up in your career?
My upbringing, most that I can was stay etched in my heart, is from my mother and my grandparents, treating people the way you wish to be treated, and having a compassion for others. Now, I don't proclaim no ways to be perfect, because I had to learn, and every day I wake up, I learn something new. I tell people, a day without learning something new is a day wasted. So the things that I learned from my parents and grandparents and what have you, actually helped me select the path that I took. Actually, my mom, she was a paraprofessional working in various schools in Lowndes County, working with special needs students. And some days I would have opportunity to go and visit with her, and seeing how she took care of 4 children without a husband, because my father was killed in Vietnam. And so she raised 4 children on her own, and then having to go and teach other children and what have you, and how she enjoyed every moment of it. That's what encouraged me to go forward with my career decision. But I do believe you have to treat people the way you wish to be treated. Whether I birthed a child or not, I think all of the children I've touched will say that I was kind. I was mean sometimes, they would say, but but overall, I was kind and I showed compassion and understanding, and I treated them the way I wanted to be treated, because I was not always treated the way I wanted to be treated when I was a child coming up. So not that that was something that I kept in my forebrain all the time, but it reminded me that, you know, kindness go a long way. And when I think about my career, and I tell people, Teacher of the Year is a award. That's an awesome, exemplary award. But there are a lot of Teacher of the Years. And what I mean by that, when I can look back over the number of children I've touched, and they still want to say hello, they still want to pay for your lunch when you go in a restaurant that they're managing, or simply working at the drive-thru or what have you, or when they want to do something for you. Oh, let me do that. Let me take your groceries to the car. Let me pay for your lunch or what have you. Those are the ones. Those particular instances make me feel deep in my heart that, hey, I wasn't so bad after all, and I was able to touch someone, and I'm very, very grateful for those experiences. So, don't know if that answered your question, because I get to rattling when I go to talking about my babies. But, but I tell you, those are my, they are the ones who remind me on a daily basis that my 35 years of teaching, they were not vain years. They were years that were meaningful. But I'm glad to be retired now. And it's a blessing to be retired. You know, I think about some people who work 30 and 40 years and they go home and they pass away and don't get a chance to enjoy the years. So when I did decide to retire, I said, okay, hey, let's start living and enjoying life, because nothing is promised.
Yes, ma'am. It seems like a lot of people that I've talked to so far from River Hill Missionary Baptist Church have had service careers. And okay. I think that speaks a lot about the church.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's what it's all about, serving. And service is so very important, you know, helping one another. And that's what we did, and not just River Hill, all the churches in the early day. You know, everybody, all various denominations, religions, races, you know, the church was like second home. You know, you could always go for a smile, always get a word, always get something to eat, you get some encouragement. And then when you look at the times that we're living in now, you know, it's strictly going in a building, swiping in, going to your desk, turning on the computer. You might get a chance to change words at the water fountain or what have you, but everything is a little different now. You know, so service is so very important, and it comes with all professions. Nurses, doctors, teachers, and even the ones that serve your food at the fast food restaurants. And my heart go out to all of them. You know, people in retail and the things that we're all dealing with in this time that we're living in. But we know things will always get better. There's always a brighter day. We just have to wait patiently and believe.
Yes, ma'am. Is there anything that you would like to add? Any personal experiences, hopes for the future while we're recording?
Well, the only thing that I would like to say is that I just hope that the process or the opportunities to share history will continue, because this, by sharing the history and getting younger people involved and making sure that they understand, you know, what happened before them, what their parents and grandparents went through or what have you, in order for them to be at the point of leisure and blessings that they are now. History must be preserved and it must be taught. You know, you can record, you can document, but if we don't get the history shared with the others, the younger ones, then it's not significant. It's not important. So I just hope that the continuation of sharing the history, and hopefully and prayerfully, the younger ones will truly understand what their parents and grandparents and great-great-grandparents and whomever went through, and then they can learn to appreciate the struggle and to work toward making it the existence of, whether it be the church, whether it be just the things that we do, you know, I lost my train of thought as far as the word traditions. You know, it's good to talk about what you do, what you've done, but if you present it in a way that the others, the younger children or younger people will realize that, hey, that wasn't so bad. It worked then, it can work now. So traditions, preserving the history, preserving traditions, and most importantly, focusing on just the simple things in life, such as being kind, showing love, sharing, all of those wonderful things, awesome things, will make this world a much better place as we are afforded opportunity to live in.
Yes, ma'am. What do you hope the church, the River Hill Missionary Baptist Church, will gain from this preservation project?
Well, again, the sharing of the traditions, the sharing of the history, those people, what they sacrificed, the hard work, all of that, giving of themselves. Hopefully that will encourage the younger ones to appreciate it, and then they will strive to make it even better. So that's important. And then, like I say, you can have pictures and books and what have you, but there's nothing like being able to pass by a building and you see a special marker. And when you see that special marker stating something to the fact of historical status, that's going to make somebody say, wonder what did they do? And then people will want to stop and ask questions. And then when you stop and ask questions, you begin dialoguing, and then you talk and you find out. And sometimes you find out that you or your family members are a part of that. And if anything, it should make you feel proud. You know, it should make you want to do everything that you can to preserve it. So that's what I would love to see. The traditions, acknowledgement of what people struggled for, and preservation, and just the change in the heart of man, because I believe that when more organizations or services or buildings or what have you are acknowledged of people who struggled and fought real hard and gave up their all in all, you know, it will change the heart of man, and then as we move forward, you know, there'll be less division. Oh my, that would be really, really good. Less division, realizing that we're all perhaps cut from the same cloth, that we're all the same. I may be tall, you may be short, I may have blonde hair, you may have green eyes, I may have blue eyes or what have you. But at the end of the day, the warm red blood that streams through our bodies is the same.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, well, thank you for everything.
Well, thank you all.
I know we went over 30 minutes.
Yes, it's okay. Again, we thank you all for all your services, and we wish you all the best of luck in all y'all future endeavors. And even, because I've already claimed this to be in existence, and even once it has been stated or presented as in completion, we hope that you all will continue to drop by the Little River Hill every now and then, and just continue sharing the word, and just continue doing what God wants you to do.
Yes, ma'am.
Don't do what man wants you to do, but you ask the question when you're presented something, you say, is this something that God wants me to do? When you stay in meditation and follow his leadership and guidance, you won't go wrong. And we'll be hearing nothing but good and wonderful things about you all.
Yes, ma'am.